Hey everyone, I'm Sean Carlson, filling in for Tanzina Vega on The Takeaway today. And for the rest of the hour today, we want to look at some culture as we round out 2019. As the clock strikes midnight on New Year's Eve, get this, thousands of copyrighted works will finally enter the public domain. And that includes books, movies, sheet music, all sorts of creative works that were first published in the U.S. in 1924. And if you're a little hazy on what came out that year, here's one. The first movie adaptation of Peter Pan. Okay, yeah, we would have had a clip for that, but that one was a silent film. But also, one of the things coming out this year, blues legend Ma Rainey's song, C.C. Rider.
I'm so unhappy.
So when a work enters the public domain, it means it's no longer protected by copyright, and the public can use and consume it without permission and at no cost. And without the public domain, we wouldn't have so much art that riffs on the work of authors like Charles Dickens and William Shakespeare. And these mass expirations used to happen every year. In 1998, though, Congress passed the Copyright Term Extension Act. It extended copyright protections for existing works for 20 years. January 1st, 2019 saw the first public domain dump since 1998. For more on this, host Tanzina Vega recently spoke to Jennifer Jenkins, a clinical professor of law and director of the Center for the Study of Public Domain at Duke University.
Jennifer, thanks for joining me.
Thanks so much for having me on the show, Tanzina.
So give us a couple of examples of maybe more of the popular works in the public domain and that some of our listeners might be familiar with.
Well, works from before copyright existed, such as the works of Shakespeare, the works of Mozart, the works of Beethoven, the works of Charles Dickens, all of these are in the public domain. And your listeners might be familiar with them because if you think about the contributions of Shakespeare to our culture, because Romeo and Juliet was in the public domain, Leonard Bernstein was free to write West Side Story, the movies Romeo and Juliet and Romeo Must Die did not have to get in touch with his heirs, and they were not subject to a veto. And Shakespeare himself drew on the public domain before him. Romeo and Juliet drew on Arthur Brooks' The Tragical History of Romeo and Juliet, which in turn drew on Ovid's Pyramus and Thisbe. And so your audience may be able to think of, you know, scores of works that drew on public domain material.
When something is not in the public domain, what happens then? Because I understand that the song Happy Birthday was not in the public domain.
Isn't that interesting? It is now. When something's not in the public domain, that means that if you want to use the work, you have to locate the copyright holder and you have to get permission from them. The copyright holder is welcome to say no, or they can charge you a fair fee, or they can charge you an exorbitant fee. Now, this is a good thing. Copyrights are very important. The public domain is the yin to the yang of copyright protection. So the design of the copyright system is there will be a term of copyright protection when you, me, any of us, you know, enjoy exclusive rights over our creative works. But then after a certain period of time, that copyright expires and those works go into the public domain where anyone else is free to use and build upon them.
So there's some work entering the public domain in 2020. What might people be excited about? What's coming into our public domain?
Wonderful music. So my favorite musical piece going into the public domain is George Gershwin's Rhapsody in Blue. Some literary works, Thomas Mann's The Magic Mountain, E.M. Forster's Passage to India, wonderful children's book, A.A. Milne's When We Were Very Young. There are also some wonderful silent films, works featuring Buster Keaton and Harold Lloyd, a silent film called Dante's Inferno, which itself drew on public domain works, Dante's The Divine Comedy, of course, but also intermixing that with elements from Charles Dickinson's A Christmas Carol. So there are really great works going to the public domain next year, and I know a lot of us are very excited about that.
So if someone wanted to play George Gershwin's Rhapsody in Blue before January 1st, while it's still under copyright, could they?
They could play it, but one of the exclusive rights of copyright is the right of public performance. And so I can play it all day in my house, in my living room. But if you want to publicly perform it, for example, you know, if your high school marching band wants to make an adaptation of it and, you know, perform it, you know, on a televised broadcast, then they would have to get permission to do that.
are United States copyright laws recognized across the world? So in other words, if I have a copyright on something that is not in the public domain here in the United States, but someone in France, for example, wants to use that, could they?
We do have international copyright treaties, most notably the Berne Convention, that seek to harmonize copyright law internationally. And so for countries that are signatories to those treaties, there is protection abroad for American authors, yes. And in turn, there is protection in America for foreign authors, which we didn't actually have until relatively recently. There's a famous story where Charles Dickens came over here and saw his works being, you know, published without his permission everywhere. And he was incensed. But at the time, we didn't give protection to foreign authors. We do now, and they give us protection as well.
Have you noticed an increase in interest of work in the public domain because of this little thing we all know as the internet and people wanting to create and create and create?
I absolutely think there is. One of the cosmic ironies of the copyright term extension, that's the law that added 20 years to the copyright term and is the reason that these works we were talking about from 1924, which were originally set to enter our public domain in 2000, are not entering the public domain until 2020, is that that term extension coincided with the moment when this little thing called the internet gave us the opportunity for the first time to digitize and make all that work available. So archives and libraries have had to wait 20 years to put all of that material online. But what this means is that next year, the Internet Archive, HathiTrust is a digital library, Google Books, you name it, they can make all of that work available where anyone can rediscover and breathe new life into those works. And the reason that's important, Tanzina, is that, you know, it's been 95 years since 1924. After 95 years, only 1% probably of works is still commercially valuable. So what that means is the vast majority of works are out of circulation, where you might not be able to find them. And so the wonderful thing about the internet and the opportunity of archives and libraries to make all this stuff available is our ability to discover all of these works that maybe we've completely forgotten or that no one knew about.
And it only took 95 years.
I know.
Jennifer Jenkins is a clinical professor of law and the director of the Center for the Study of the Public Domain at Duke University. Jennifer, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me on the show. Happy almost Public Domain Day.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.